At the beginning of this year, I decided to try to read through the Bible, entire Bible, in 1 year. And so I've been working at that. And it has been fascinating to me just to start again at the book of Genesis and read through all of that history, all of those stories. I know heaven is a place far away, and it's hard for me to picture it because I've never been there. And none of us have been there. But when you read through these stories in the Old Testament, do you know that actually was here on this earth? Of course you know that. But it's just good for me to stop and think about this is real people who lived in this earth and walked on this soil, not here where we are necessarily, not that far away, relatively speaking. It's just fascinating to try to put yourselves in the shoes of these people. And there's some pretty amazing stories. You read the story of creation and read the story of Adam and Eve and their children, the first murderer. Read how long Lamech and Methuselah lived. Fascinating details. Read about the ark. The flood, read the story of Abraham, read the story how God continued to work with his people, how he, as someone said at once, unzipped the Red Sea and swallowed up a whole army. Just fascinating miracles that happened. But anyhow, one of those stories that captured my attention was Genesis chapter 22. You can turn there. I want to look at a story, an amazing story that speaks of faith. Sometimes we put more emphasis on faith being a part of the new covenant, but faith was very much a part of the life of Abraham. Abraham was a man who was called, we think about the children of Israel, and we follow their story through the Old Testament, but it kind of started here with Abraham. Abraham was called out of, I guess, a heathen society in many ways. And God said, I want you to move. I want you to go to a place where I'm going to show you. This was before the days of GPSs. This is before the days of Google. See where you're headed. He says, I want you to go. And I just would challenge you again to read the entire story of his life. We can't do that this morning. But I want to look at something that God asked him to do in Genesis chapter 22. Let's read verses 1 through 19. And it came to pass after these things, speaking particularly of the covenant that God had made with Abraham, I believe, and his wanderings, came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave or split the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood? Where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. There's a lot of things we don't know, a lot of things we could speculate about. How old was Isaac? How much did Abraham tell his wife before they went? How did Isaac respond to being tied and laid on the altar? But it's a dramatic story. It's a touching story of a father and his only son. The son of promise. The son he had waited for. The son whom God said, In this son, you're going to have as many children and descendants as the sands of the seashore. This was the son that God came to him and said, Abraham, I want you to offer him for a burnt offering. Now, you know what a burnt offering is, right? When they offer a lamb, bind the lamb, kill the lamb, and then light the fire. And it goes up in smoke. That's what God told him to do to his son. Sometimes I forget about the burning part that God would have required of him. Well, so Abraham rose up early in the morning, it says in verse 3. And they traveled for 3 days, 3 nights. Then in verse 5, he tells them, and you start getting a little window into his faith. Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And it sounds like Abraham's telling the men, we're going to go and we're going to come back. And the New Testament gives us some windows into what Abraham was possibly thinking. Hebrews 11:19 says, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Somehow through the eye of faith, Abraham believed that God knew what he was doing and God was going to keep his promise. He believed that, even though he didn't understand why and what all. So he said, abide and we'll come back. And then in verse 7, we have Isaac asking, where's the lamb, Father? Where's the lamb? I see the fire. I see the wood. I see the knife. But where's the lamb? And I just think that it's fascinating. I think it gives us, again, a little window into their home life. I think Isaac was very familiar with sacrifice. This was something that Abraham did. He built altars and he sacrificed. And Isaac knew that it was a lamb that was to be offered up. This was not uncommon to him. But he said, God will provide a lamb. And so they built an altar. They laid the wood on. Abraham tied up his son and laid him on the altar, and he took the knife, ready to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord, and here it says, The angel of the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, all capital letters, the angel of Jehovah, called unto him out of heaven, and he stopped him. And Abraham found the ram in the thicket. And it says that he was offered in the stead or in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place what? Jehovah Jireh. That's what the title of the sermon is this morning, Jehovah Jireh. Do you know what Jehovah Jireh means? There's a lot of things we could look at in this story, but I just want to take you on a little trip through Scripture and show you what is special about this place that Abraham called Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah, of course, we know means the self-existent one, the one who reveals himself to man. And Jireh means to see. To see, or maybe we'll see to it. Sometimes, maybe we don't use that phrase real commonly, but we'll say, you know, I'll see to it that such and such happens. I'll see to it that the ice chest comes along, or I'll see to it that there's water along for the picnic. I'll see to it. And it's a compound word. And when you put this Jehovah Jireh together and the Jehovah, the God who comes, who reveals himself, who says he will see to it, you get the picture of providing. And a lot of, many times this is interpreted, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And you look at the word providing, you may wonder, you know, how does that, I'll see to it, I will provide. You start seeing, if you look at the noun form of provide, think about a provision. And you start seeing how these words come together. Provision. Vision gives a picture of sight, right? The provisions are what's brought along because somebody saw ahead that there was going to be a need, right? You bring water along because you know you're going to be on a hike and you're going to need provisions, right? When we start seeing this more clearly, God says, or Abraham says, as he spoke about God and this place where God came and met him, he said, this is a place where the Lord provided, where the Lord brought the provision, where God saw to it that his will was done and that a sacrifice was made. God saw Abraham. God saw Isaac. God saw their hearts. He saw their faith. He saw their obedience. And God provided an angel. And God provided a ram. He provided a substitute in the place of his son for the sacrifice. God saw and God provided. And Abraham said, this place where I am, I'm going to call it Jehovah Jireh because the Lord provided. This is an actual place. Again, I was talking about how in the beginning, how I can kind of disconnect from the reality of this being real people in real places on this real planet. There was a place where Abraham stood on this earth one day that he said, this place I'm going to call Jehovah Jireh. It's a place where he worshiped Jehovah. This was not just a randomly selected place to go. Look back at these verses again. This was directed very distinctly by God. This is the place that it was supposed to be. Look at verse 3. Abraham rose up early in the morning and went unto the place of which God had told him. This was not a random place. God very specifically said, there's a place I want you to go. Verse 4. Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off. There was a destination, a distinct destination, a place where God had asked him to go. And when it was done, he gave that place a distinct name. He says, in other words, this is the place where Jehovah saw my need, saw my plight, saw my desperation. And he remedied my situation. Very significant location. Does the Bible speak more of this location? Follow with me. We're going to read some verses this morning. Turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 21. 1 Chronicles 21 tells the story of how Satan provoked David to number Israel. This was against the direction of God. But David had, I guess there was some selfishness in his heart, or maybe pride or arrogance. Maybe a lack of faith. I don't know what all it was. But David numbered Israel. He wanted to see how many men of war there were. And it displeased God. And God said that he's going to punish him. Let's jump in at verse 9. The Lord spake unto Gad, this is 1 Chronicles 21, verse 9, spake unto Gad, David's seer, saying, go and tell David, saying, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things, choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, choose thee, either 3 years of famine, or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while that the sword of thine enemies overtaketh thee, or thirdly, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coasts of Israel. Now therefore advise thyself, what word shall I bring again to him that sent me? What would you choose? And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies. But let me not fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel. And there fell of Israel 70,000 men. And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil, and said unto the angel that destroyed, it is enough. Stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand, stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. And David said unto God, is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? Even I it is that have sinned and done evil indeed. But as for these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, O Lord my God, be on me and on my father's house, and not on thy people, that they should be plagued. Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David went up at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord. And Ornan turned back and saw the angel and his four sons with him hid themselves. Now Ornan was threshing wheat. And as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David and went out of the threshing floor. This is the king. And bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it for me the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And maybe we'll just summarize the rest for sake of time. So he sold it to David for a fair price. He bought the threshing floor. He bought the oxen. He clave the, was it a cart there, I believe, for the wood? And he offered the oxen right there. And God's hand was stayed from killing more of the children of Israel. Now you may say, what does this have to do with Jehovah Jireh? Well, I see some parallels. We have Isaac being on the altar. Isaac represented the rest of Israel, right? God had said, through Isaac your seed will be spread throughout the earth. And as Isaac lay on the altar, it was as if that promise and all of Israel's lives were at stake as he laid there, just about to be killed. And here we have all of Israel easily, so much for David wanting to number the people, right? The angel of the Lord could have wiped out all of that city if someone or something hadn't stopped him. If this isn't stopped, all Israel will be destroyed. And so, through the prophet, David goes and he buys this threshing floor. a very exact place God told him to go, to purchase and to offer. Now, why there? Well, perhaps you know. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 3, and we'll get another insight into this. Fast forward, David the king reigned for years. David has now died. He's made plans for a beautiful temple to be built. His son Solomon is going to build it. And here in verse 3, chapter 3, verse 1, 2 Chronicles 3, 1, then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father, in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Do you see what that is? The very place where the threshing floor of Ornan was Mount Moriah, was Jehovah Jireh. And he began to build in the second day of the second month, in the fourth year of his reign. See how it comes together? This place that God had designated for Abraham to take Isaac. The place that Abraham had his faith severely tested. The place where he saw God come to his rescue and bring a ram instead of his son. The place where David pled for the lives of the children of Israel and offered an oxen in a sacrifice for his own sin that he had committed, that was killing Israel, in this very place. This all happened. And now Solomon is building a temple. And when there's a temple, there's an altar, because people sin. And there's an altar to shed blood for the covering of sin. In this very place, or at least very, very close to the same place. I don't know if it was in the same square feet. But at the same place, now Solomon is building an altar and a temple to Jehovah God. It's not so much the temple, but it's the fact that there's an altar there. It's this place of sacrifice. It's this place that's set aside to find atonement. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And every sacrifice from Abraham and Isaac and on through the lives of the children of Israel, through David, through Solomon, all of them pointed forward to Christ himself, who would one day offer himself for the sins of many. This place, Jehovah Jireh, is certainly a place where God provided and where God met, where God came, and where sins were dealt with, this hill of sacrifice. But the story of Moriah still wasn't over, because these three stories all point forward to another story. Another story in this mountain. Another story that's of great importance. Because what Abraham and David and Solomon couldn't do, the Lord Jesus came and did. A greater one did. Jesus wrote another chapter in the story of Moriah. He made this mountain his own, as it were. You think about how many things happened. Mount Moriah is in the middle of the old city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem sat up on the top of a mountain. Jesus climbed Mount Moriah to enter his father's house time and again. Jesus taught on this mountain. He turned over the tables of the money changers on this mountain. It was on Mount Moriah that he declared, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will build it again." He spent the last week of his life on this mountain. Jesus wasn't killed in Bethlehem as a baby, even though Herod tried to. He wasn't killed in Galilee or Samaria, even though they tried to. But God saw fit for Jesus to die in Jerusalem, where Moriah is, because he is the promised seed of Abraham, a new and a better Isaac. He is the promised seed of David, a new and a better Solomon. He is the tabernacle and the temple of God. Jesus is the Son who was not spared but was delivered up for us all. See, when Abraham offered a ram in the stead of Isaac, he called the place Jehovah Jireh. And he obviously didn't understand what all would happen at this place. But he became a prophet, as it were, in saying, God will provide. What a tremendous provision was made at this place. In the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. It became a prophecy, and it happened there. Indeed, it will, and it was. God provided his Son, and in that Son we receive everything. Mount Zion, also known as Jerusalem, Mount Moriah. You look at maps of the old city of Jerusalem and you see them all there. Abraham didn't have all these details, but by faith he appropriately named it. Now it's fascinating to me as well, as people traveled to the temple. Obviously the temple went through. The temple was built magnificently by Solomon. I'm going to go off by memory on some of this history, but it was destroyed. Israel went into captivity. It was rebuilt, headed up by Ezra and Nehemiah. Not near in its glory. You remember that story, how people wept. Some of the older people wept because they remembered what it used to be like. Temple was destroyed again and rebuilt by Herod, much, much more beautiful, much larger. Went through various stages, but always there was a place of worship there in Jerusalem. And as the children of Israel would gather and they would come once a year to Israel, to Jerusalem to worship, they would walk up. And again, if you haven't been there, I haven't been there, but it's high. You climb the hills to Jerusalem. And you can see it from afar off, just as Abraham saw the place afar off. And as they climbed, they had psalms and songs that they would sing. And we have a series of psalms called the Psalms of Ascent. And I want you to just think about climbing toward the place of provision. Psalm 121. Let me turn there if you want. I'm just going to read it. And you think about the context of lifting up your eyes toward the altar, toward the place of provision, toward Jehovah Jireh. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He's the provider. The Lord will provide. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. God preserves. God keeps. God helps. God will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Where does your help come from? Where do you lift up your eyes? Where do I? We look to the cross. I believe Jesus was crucified in a very similar place to Jehovah Jireh, very nearby. I don't know how exact it was. But in this Mount Moriah, Jesus gave his life on a cross. This Jehovah, this self-existent one who revealed himself in the pierced body of Jesus. And he said, I will provide. I will provide. I will give what it takes for sinful man to be reconciled to a holy God. God provided me a lamb. God provided you a lamb. It was his own son, his own dear son, his only begotten son. There's a lot more we could look at in that chapter. I don't know where your mind goes when you think about that provision. I think about Abraham naming that. There's a correlation between Abraham realizing his desperate plight, realizing his own dear son's life is at stake, and God came and provided something else. And I think that there is a correlation between how much we understand our plight and how much Jehovah Jireh means to us. How much we understand what the provision of God is for me, for us. Trials come in life. Last Sunday I said that blessings and battles run parallel through life. Blessings and battles. But I think that adverse circumstances come. They come to our lives. This says, in this chapter, said that God tempted Abraham. I can't totally explain that. Some of these things are, we can't understand the mind of God. But God was testing Abraham's faith through trials. And Abraham's obedience brought him to the place where he could see God's provision. Abraham's willingness to walk that walk of faith, walk those 3 days to the mountain, bind his son and put him on the altar, opened up a tremendous window into this picture that he called God's provision. God is providing for me. So one of the questions is, what must God see so that he might provide for you when we are caught in the trials of life? So God saw something in Abraham's life, and he said, I want to prove to him, I want to test his faith, but I want to show him that I can provide. Maybe God is bringing some of us through those things. But God provided for Abraham what he needed. It was the prevision, or what God saw in Abraham's faith and obedience, that moved him to provide what we see in this story. Obedience led to provision, the provision of Jehovah Jireh. What has God provided for you? What has he provided for me? We often pray and we thank God for his blessings. Are those God's provisions? Health, strength, food, land of freedom. Sure, they come from the hand of God. We should thank him for it. But what was it to Abraham when he said God provided? What was it really? What is at the core of when we see God and we say his mercy endureth forever? What do we receive from him that we say he's merciful, he's gracious, he's kind, he's provided for me? What is it, really? Is it all these things that make life nice? He provided redemption. He provided Jesus. Do I need more than that? Yes, we're human, and these other things have an impact on our lives. But I just want to leave the challenge with us that when God provided Christ, when God provided a cross, when God provided his only son, it was enough. It's a great enough provision to reach to you and I and for all of us to share. We find everything provided in Christ. And I hope that as we walk in lives of obedience, that we find that provision real. As we walk the walk of faith, and as we walk through trials that God brings to us, can we find his provisions through Christ to be real, to be personal for us, We find places that we call Jehovah Jireh, where we say, I lifted up my eyes, and yes, my help comes from there. God brought help to me. God was with me. I know He has helped me, and I know He longs to help each of us. Let's look to Him as Jehovah Jireh. God is my provider. Let's pray.